So today we'll continue with the next few lines in Dogen's piece on Suigyo, the Mountains and Waters Sutra. He wrote this piece in 1240 of our common era. He presented it to his Sangha for the first time, 17 days after dating the time being and power of the robe, Kesu Kudoku, and transmitting the robe, Dene. So three important pieces. Earlier that year, he also wrote or presented three other pieces, which were included in his 75 fascicle version of the Shobo Genzo. The Mountains and Waters Sutra. Sutra means warp, as in a weaving. In a Buddhist context, however, sutra is a discourse or sermon given by Shakyamuni Buddha or given with his sanction. Thus I hear, or thus have I heard, introduced many of the sutras and were uttered by Shakyamuni's and were copied. I'm trying to see what Shakyamuni Buddha's cousin did. So thus I hear, or thus have I heard, introduced many of the sutras and were uttered by Shakyamuni Buddha's cousin and attendant, Ananda, who was renowned for his prodigious memory. Ananda's memory was in some ways quite unique because he wasn't born yet for some of the sutra discourses given by the Buddha. And yet, he remembered them word for word. Like other beings, the mountains and waters come forth with the wisdom, virtue, sounds, and shapes of the Tathagata, though often that wisdom is shrouded by our own self-narrowing stories and ranges of perception. The old teacher, Ching Cheng, was fond of asking, "What is the sound outside the gate?" As replies, he heard the sound of rain dripping, or the sound of a snake eating a frog, or the voice of a dove. In response, Ching Cheng said, "Ordinary people are upside down, falling into delusion about themselves and pursuing outside objects." Ananda said at the beginning of each sutra, "Thus I hear." Dogen did not call this piece the sutra about mountains and waters. It is the Mountains and Waters Sutra. The mountains are sutra. They, each one of them, the expression of the Tathagata. The waters, even one tiny dewdrop, is the manifestation, the presentation of the Tathagata. Empty your thoughts, exhaust your words, and enter right there. Enter right here. And fulfill Ananda's words, allowing each sound, allowing each shape to be your own, just as the mountains and waters are you. Thus, I hear the mountains, the rivers. Listen. Listen. Yesterday, we looked at the mountains and rivers of this moment, or the actualization of the way of the old Buddhas, each abiding in its own phenomenal expression, realizes completeness. And now we'll continue with, because mountains and waters have been active prior to the kapha of emptiness, they are alive at this moment. Because they have been the self prior to form, they are liberated and realized. Because mountains are high and broad, their way of riding the clouds always extends from the mountains. Their wondrous power of soaring in the wind comes freely through the mountains. So again, because mountains and waters have been active prior to the kapha of emptiness, they are alive at this moment. Because they have been the self prior to form, they are liberated and realized. Because mountains are high and broad, their way of riding the clouds always extends from the mountains. Their wondrous power of soaring in the wind comes freely through the mountains. So a kapha is an immeasurable period of time. I do not remember this accurately, but in the Lotus Sutra, a small kapha is the length of time it would take a feather swiped once every 100 years across a solid 1 cubic mile block of iron to be worn down. So a very, very long period of time. In Buddhist cosmology, there are four kappas: the kappa of formation, the kappa of maintenance, the kappa of destruction, and the kappa of emptiness. Again, though long, long time, these kappas all reside in time. But mountains and waters have been active prior to these kappas. They have resided before time, before form, before emptiness. And because they are not fixed to time or place, they are present right here, right now. Because they are before, they move freely as themselves. And this is like Zazen, true Zazen, which is before I, me, mine, which is before feeling, thought, or sensation. True Zazen, which is before past, present, or future. And this before allows mountains to be mountains. This before allows water to be water. And this before allows you and you and me to be all that we are and are not. And this is what Zazen offers us. And this is what Dogen Sanswego is presenting or expressing. Because the mountains and waters have been expressing themselves as their unbounded selves, as their unmitigated selves since even before form or emptiness, they are both realized and liberated, which is just another word for true Zazen. The mountains, when unchained from time, contain and are contained by all things, by each thing. The water, when untied from time, contains and is contained, as are you in Zazen, contained and containing. This is why the form of our Zazen is with open hands, with open hearts, and with an open mind. Zazen, our minds are vast and boundless. And though filled with thoughts and feelings and sensations, it isn't constrained by them, or lessened by them, or sullied by them. Zazen, like the mountains and waters, is prior to even the eon of emptiness. And where and how do you enter Zazen? Do you hear the sound of the wind blowing the last of the leaves from their branches? Enter right there. Do you hear the sound of I-90 traffic racing to Helena, to Seattle? Enter right there. Do you hear the sound of the snake eating the frog? Enter right here with open hands, open heart, and open mind. Of course, this may not be so easy. In the world we live in, there is untold amounts of suffering and pain, of division and hatred, of robber barons' greed. There is the side of the snake and the side of the frog. And our responsibility is to open to both sides, to all, the good and the bad, the sorrow and the joy, and to birth and death. This is why a practice, a form, and companions are so essential. It can hold you when the night is dark. They can hold you when the wind is unbelievably strong and the water hellishly cold and the bridge in utter disrepair. They can hold. And in that state of mind, in suffering and in pain, Zazen may not give meaning or direction, but it will. It can hold you to this. It can hold you to before even the eon of emptiness. There is before. And that puts us right here in the middle of our unique karma. It puts you right here in your conditions and circumstances. And this, in a sense, when it entered fully, is freedom, or at least a pathway to freedom. Right here, in this body, in this place, in this time, with your companions that you're sitting with today. Now, if this talking about time and space in this way feels a bit abstract, let me say it another way. A few weeks ago, my partner Eileen and I, over the course of 16 days, paddled through the Grand Canyon on the Colorado River. It is, as you know, a remarkable place filled with the various sounds of silence only a desert canyon can imagine. There were different types of rocks in the canyon: Vishnu schist, Zoroaster plutonon, basalt, red wall rock, to name just some. And as the days of paddling passed, as you dropped deeper and deeper into the depths of the canyon walls, you also passed through geologic time. My times here aren't accurate, but the start of the paddle immerses you in a rock that is 250 million years old. And as the days pass and the river cuts deeper, the emerging rocks are 500 million years old, then 750 million years. And near the end of our pullout destination, 1.5 billion years old, right here on Earth, 1.5 billion years ago. And at nights, someone had brought along a super fancy telescope, which can be directed and focused by an iPhone app. We spent evenings looking up at the Andromeda Galaxy, almost 2.5 million light years from Earth, where 1 light year is almost 6 trillion miles. So the galaxy, 2.5 million light years from Earth, where 1 light year is 6 trillion miles. We also looked at some planets and their moons, some red dwarfs, white, and who knows what else. The light coming to us from the night are of the very distant, of the way distant past. The things we see are ancient, and what we saw in the evening sky was past, long past. And yet, in this almost immeasurable time, these rocks and stars, these cliffs and planets are in time. They are of time. And the mountains and waters that Dogen is presenting and showing us are before. They're old, like the old pond of Basho that the frog jumped in. And this is your very own mind. Your mind before, before stars and planets, before rocks and galaxies, before any thought, feeling, or sensation. This is your old mind before your parents were born. This is your mind, the mind of the Heart Sutra with no ignorance and no ending of ignorance, the mind with no old age and death, and no ending of old age and death, and so on. Once the young Zhaozhou came to Nanchuan and said, "What is the Tao, the way?" And Nanchuan said, "Ordinary mind is the Tao." And he also said, "The way is not subject to knowing or not knowing. If you truly reach the genuine way, you will find it as vast and boundless as outer space." According to Akin Roshi, the etymology of the Chinese compound translated as ordinary is constant or eternal. So ordinary mind is the Tao. This is the ordinary before anything is added or subtracted. It is the ordinary before pure and impure, before being and non-being, and before even form and emptiness. It is the ordinary of the Mountains and Waters Sutra, that is before time, yet includes all facets of time. Next, Dogen wrote, "Because mountains are high and broad, their way of riding the clouds extends from the mountains. Their wondrous power of soaring in the wind comes freely through the mountains." Riding the clouds and soaring freely in the wind are originally Taoist phrases, and I'm not sure what they meant for them. But the images by themselves give us direction, I think. Because mountains are high and broad is another way to say, because mountains are themselves. Because mountains fully inhabit their high and broad bodies. Because they are completely themselves, they ride the clouds. They move freely in their circumstances. When the clouds drop rain, the mountains wet. When the clouds bring cold or shadow or dark or filter light, the mountains respond accordingly, just by being mountains. They do not have to do or be anything extraordinary, just being ordinary mountains, high and broad is enough, is actually more than enough. And this too is how and why they soar in the winds, though they never move. By being only themselves, they are liberated and free and move as clouds, as wind, as snow, and as rain. But they still never lose their own uniqueness. These circumstances may shape them, give them character, but at bottom, they remain what they are. Mountains broad and high, liberated. And this again is like you and I. when we allow our circumstances, when we allow fear or sadness, joy or happiness, loneliness or community, we become more fully what we are. You become more fully who you are. And in this way, you are part of the entire world, and the complete world is part of your life. In a way, we could say the world and you co-create. You know, next comes a line that is quite famous in the Dogen world, and one that he'll return to over and over again in this fascicle. It goes like this. The priest Dao Kai addressed the assembly, saying, "The blue mountains are constantly walking. The stone woman gives birth to a child in the night." I was going to tell you some things about Dokai and read you some of his dialogues that he had with students to give you a more general sense of him. There's some beautiful echoes to what Dogen is repeating in the dialogue that Dokai has with his students. But I feel like I've talked almost long enough, so I'm going to skip that now, maybe somewhere else, maybe tomorrow, probably not, but maybe in the December retreat, I'll retreat a little bit and talk a little bit about Dokai and then some of his on dialogue. But I think I'll just continue. I just have a little bit more here to comment on with that particular thing from Dokai, and then we'll go back to our Kinhin and our Zazen. So the priest Dao Kai, yeah, it's Dao Kai, I've been saying Dokai. The priest Dao Kai addressed the assembly, saying, "The blue mountains are constantly walking. The stone woman gives birth to a child in the night." So what do you make of this? The blue mountains constantly walking. The stone woman gives birth to a child in the night. Dogen goes on to give his sense of what is important in Dao Kai's words later on in this fascicle. But before going to that, let's just stay with what is given and look at the second line first. The stone woman gives birth to a child in the night. The phrase that jumps out to me here is "in the night." In the night is when straw men dance. It is the time before the moon has risen and the stars are covered by clouds. In that darkness, in the darkly dark, anything is possible. In the dark, we cannot tell a large rock from a bear, a small tree from a person, or a barred owl's call from a child's scream. In the night, before the moon has come up and the stars are covered by clouds, directions are loosened, up and down blurred, and our senses are heightened. In a way, anything can happen, or in a way, anything is possible. Maybe even a stone woman can give birth. Maybe she can give birth to a child. Maybe she can give birth to the moon or to the walking mountain. Night is the time of no time, The night is the place of no place. And in this place of no place, and in this time of no time, there is a stone woman, pregnant. Pregnant with possibility and pregnant with impossibilities. She is pregnant with the imagination of what is and isn't, of what can and cannot, and of what is real and unreal. Dogen and Dao Kai will not let you rest in the ordinary daylight of how we think things are and should be. The night robs us of our definitions. It robs us of our boundaries and perception. And the night opens the coming dawn to possibility. It opens to what until now has been unimaginable. Some come to practice thinking, if I sit a certain way, if I sit a certain amount, if I walk at certain times and behave and conduct myself, I'll be liberated or free or find at least maybe some ease. But that isn't so. Each of us, each of you must go into the night, into the darkly dark, and give birth to that which is unborn and undying, to that which is neither being nor non-being, to that which is before abundance and scarcity. That is what your Zazen is asking from you, to let yourselves walk into the night, which is to walk into not knowing. So as this day ends, as we go into the coming winter, into the dark, please enjoy it. For right there in what you don't know yet, what you haven't felt yet or seen yet, right there is what is possible for you and you and me, and for all beings, and also for all non-beings.